Rise to propose today's motion on the Universal Credit 5-week wait and inextricable links with illegal money lending, another hook that paramilitaries, organised crime gangs use to tighten their grip on our communities. It's a quiet, untold threat that preys on vulnerability and desperation, emboldened by the disaster that has been welfare reform. The universal credit system was supposed to support the most impoverished and in-need households. Instead, the five-week wait leaves those already struggling to make ends meet in a state of panic over how they will cope. It's not only debt-inducing, but dangerous. It's a gateway for loan sharks to step in, offer a way out with no credit checks, no paperwork, just a promise of fast cash. Once fear and intimidation take hold, victims are understandably reluctant to come forward. This reluctance suggests the issue is far more widespread than reported. What we do know comes from the brave individuals who have told their stories. And those stories often follow the same pattern, with the same shame and fear attached. In my experience, this issue disproportionately impacts single mothers. I see parents who've exhausted all avenues of support turning to my office seeking help with food vouchers or emergency financial support. A cuppa while they wait and a general chit-chat around the cost of living inevitably breaks down barriers and people begin to talk. They tell a tale of desperation, which often begins with receiving a migration letter informing the individual that they should apply for universal credit within said date or risk losing their benefits. The letter, currently focusing on those of receipt of tax credits and mostly young families, negates to mention the five-week wait, nor does it direct claimants to relevant support. That realisation normally comes post-application as worried parents scramble to cover costs. Frontline UC staff typically offer an advance which needs to be repaid, but the contingency fund is not routinely mentioned. Most who I've spoken with were completely unaware of its existence. It's clear that the current framework is inaccessible and is failing those it's supposed to support. Yesterday I spoke on the carers' motion and said that it wasn't perfect, and my motion today isn't perfect either, so I do welcome the amendments. I'm glad that we have this motion on the floor for debate, and I'm glad to see the Alliance amendment, which we will be supporting, calling for the renaming of the contingency fund, which will ensure those who need it can find it. But renaming alone is not enough.
Can we
get
a break?
Yeah, certainly.
Thank the member for giving way. The member says that renaming the fund is not enough. What would be enough?
I thank the member for his intervention. The department and its staff must do more to promote the fund, update guidance to expand its use, and increase the budget to ensure it achieves its intended purpose of helping those struggling with the five-week wait. Backdating UC, particularly for care leavers or those missing out on 3 or more weeks of housing benefit, is important. However, I believe that if the contingency fund is strengthened and amended effectively, it could help reduce the need for backdating. While today's focus is on the five-week wait, I would like to see funding restored for both the contingency fund and the social fund that has seen support fall by 60% in just 4 years. This reduction is also forcing more people toward high-cost illegal lenders. However, what's even more worrying than the invisibility and inaccessibility of the contingency fund is the apparent indifference of the minister. When I asked him about addressing the five-week wait and his department's research into debt, poverty and illegal money lending, he referred me back to an answer from a year ago. Not only has research not been conducted, but there appear to be no plans to address it. Although that's very much in keeping with the PAC report on welfare and poverty, which highlighted concerns that ministers and DFC appeared to be too far removed from the lived experience of those impacted by welfare policies. Not only are we in danger of creating bad policy that's destroying lives, But it also demonstrates a lack of understanding of the damage being done. Today, later today, the minister will give a statement on tackling benefit fraud. And while I'm sure we all will support attempts to prevent people abusing the system, what is the minister going to do to stop the system abusing people? And we look forward to statements from the minister on tackling error in benefits as well, and maybe from another minister or the government in London on tackling tax evasion and avoidance that's costing us billions. Meanwhile, half of UC claimants struggle to afford food and bills during the waiting period. Trussell Trust has repeatedly stated that the wait is a key driver of food bank use that's pushing millions of people into crisis. It's led to acute and immediate financial hardship and worsened households' longer-term financial resilience. This is the reality of the erosion of social welfare under welfare reform. What was once a safety net is now full of gaping holes, allowing people to fall into the jaws of predatory loan sharks. But we've only scratched the surface on this issue. Alarmingly, research conducted by Ulster University has shown that while fear is one obstacle to reliable data on illegal money lending, another is that the practice is so commonplace here that it's become unremarkable. Research has shown that 43% of loan shark victims said that they had been abused, threatened, or physically harmed as a result. A third had considered taking their own lives. We cannot afford to ignore this issue. I'm also deeply concerned about the impending managed migration of ESA claimants to Universal Credit. ESA supports those unable to work because of an illness or disability. We're talking about some of society's most vulnerable individuals here, arguably the least well equipped to navigate this transition and most at risk of exploitation by illegal money lenders. How will they be protected? When I raised concerns with the minister last month, he advised that people impacted by illegal money lending should simply seek support from Advice ANI. But while they are a fantastic organisation, the advice sector is already overwhelmed. How will the department support the sector to ensure that they can support people? To conclude, we're calling for the establishment of a working group. I'm going to be running out of time, sorry. We're calling for the establishment of a working group bringing together government departments, the PSNI, the advice sector, financial institutions, credit unions, with input from those with lived experience. We want to see the immediate renaming and reform of the contingency fund, targeted investment and solutions to eliminate the 5-week wait. We need, in the short term, an easy enough ask, I believe, collaboration on a leaflet to be included with every managed migration notice, ensuring claimants are fully informed about the 5-week wait, the risks of illegal money lending, and signposting them to appropriate support. I believe this leaflet would also be useful to people being allocated new homes. As I have seen in my own constituency, these organised crime groups or gangs or paramilitaries literally going door to door in new housing estates offering to lend people money to furnish those homes. What would you do? That's something I'm asked time and time again on this matter. I was paying back numerous loans already. I'd no gas in the meter. I'd used the emergency credit on my electricity, and an answer came knocking. I'd no idea what I was getting myself into. What would you do? So to the minister I ask, what will you do? I know resolving this issue requires cross-departmental working, but the first step begins with you. People shouldn't be forced to live in fear to make ends meet.